America's healthcare advocate, Carrie Hall.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HIA Radio Network. My producer's in studio with me today, Dave Thiessen, the man behind all of the cameras that posts all these shows on our YouTube and podcast platforms. By the way, there are 15 podcast platforms, and we've got over 500,000 YouTube views, thanks to all of you in the listening audience. The man behind the microphones, Mr. Darren Wilhite, here at the Odyssey Studios. We're on 238 affiliates around the country. The reason for that is all of you that listen to this show. So we want to say thank you. We hope you enjoy it and continue to listen. If you listen to this show and you hear it on the air or whatever the case may be and you want to tell someone about it, you can always go to the website americashealthcareadvocate.com, americashealthcareadvocate.com. All the shows are posted up there. You can go on the YouTube platform or the podcast platform, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeart Radio, Odyssey Radio. We're on all of the platforms and all the shows are posted up there. Also, if you are chronologically challenged and you are looking for Medicare, that's right, just like me, and you're looking for Medicare coverage, you want to give Carol Lee Steele a call. She is at 877-385-2224 at the RPS Benefits by Design. Anywhere in the country, they're happy to help you. And if you're an employer struggling with the cost of health insurance, Maria Ahlers is the person you want to call. She's also at RPS Benefits by Design, 877-385-2224. In studio with me, happy to have her back, Dr. Tracy Stevens.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
And joining us today, Dr. Anna Grzynski. Welcome, doctor.
Thank you, Carrie.
So this is a very special show for me today. It's always great to get Dr. Stevens in studio. She brought Dr. Grzynski with her today. And our topic today is women's heart health. That's what we're going to talk about. This is personal to me, okay? My wife, Lauren, suffers from heart failure. It has not been an easy road. She is a patient of Dr. Lawhorn's at the St. Luke's Women's Heart Health Center. It is remarkable what they do there. I think it's important for people across the country to understand this and understand the difference between men and women. And there are significant differences. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're also going to talk about what's going on in treatment. We're going to talk about who's at risk, why, and how does all that play into the total picture of women's heart health. So let's just start a little bit with Dr. Stevens' bio. Dr. Stevens is a board-certified cardiologist with St. Luke's Cardiovascular Consultants and is on staff at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute, Kansas City, Missouri. She is the Julie Irene Kaufman Endowed Chair for Women's Cardiovascular Health, the Ben D. McAllister MD Community Ambassador Advisor, and a professor of medicine. She is a recipient of the UMKC Take Wing Award and the Alumni Spotlight Award. She completed her cardiology fellowship at Mayo Clinic, where she is also a National Institute of Health Cardiovascular Research Fellow. And so we're very happy to have her in studio with us today. Obviously very busy and to get them in here. Dr. Grzynski was born in Ukraine, immigrated to Columbia, Missouri with her parents at the age of six. She and her parents moved to Kansas City to be closer to family in 1997. Dr. Grzynski attended medical school at the University of Kansas City's six-year combined Bachelor MD program. She completed her residency in internal medicine and chief residency and clinical fellowship in cardiovascular disease at the University of Kansas City. She also completed her NIH T32 research fellowship in cardiovascular outcomes at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute. She practices clinical cardiology, and we are very happy to have her in studio with us today. Thank you, doctor, for coming in. So, Dr. Stevens, let's just start with this, because I remember way back when you and I first started doing these, it's been a minute, as yes. they say. I remember one of the very first shows we did, and when we started talking, this is long before my wife had this condition, you know, mm-hmm. the difference between men and women is significant. The mm-hmm. symptoms are different. The way it affects them is different. Let's just go through the differences between men and women and how they manifest themselves in symptoms and the rest of it. Doctor?
Well, you're so right. We've come a long way in this journey in recognizing this. And if we give a little historical perspective, in the 60s, the American Heart Association had a conference, and the audience invited were women to attend the topic of how to protect your man with heart disease.
Keep him off the golf course on the 19th hole. There you go.
And there was a nutritional course, and the pamphlet said how to cook for your man with heart disease. Then in the 80s, the billboard said, learn CPR, save your husband's life. At that time, the percentage of women represented in cardiovascular research was only about 10 to 20%. So it wasn't recognized as a heart threat for women. We thought it was a disease for men. So we didn't recognize this was our number one health threat until a very wise cardiovascular ICU nurse at St. Luke's recognized women were coming in with heart attacks, and they were given antacids for chest pain versus men taken to the cath lab, because that was the protocols then. And so we've come a long way. And at that time, Marcia McCoy, our colleague, created the first Women's Heart Center in America, and it took one woman at a time in a virtual program to educate, and we learned along this one woman at a time journey. And you're right, symptoms can be different. We do a bad job. We say, do you have chest pain? In women and in men, but commonly in women, it could be any symptom from the waist on up, as well as overwhelming fatigue. That's the one that bothers me the most. Symptoms may be different. Women still to this day don't recognize this is their number one health threat. We've gone from one out of two deaths every year being in women being due to heart attack and stroke to now just one in three, compared to one in 39 from breast cancer. So the research part for breast cancer has advanced that, but we're way behind still. And more women than men, or more women die from heart attack and stroke than all forms of cancer combined. So the symptoms we don't recognize. Healthcare providers, we don't really ask a lot about their detail of their symptoms. And the risk factors, while we may share traditional risk factors like men, there are unique conditions in women that are unique only to women in respect to cardiovascular disease, or much more prevalent in women. We think, were we missing this all along, or is this becoming more prevalent? Far more questions than we have answers in this long journey where we've got a long way yet to go.
You know, that's shocking, Dr. Uzinski, when I hear Dr. Stevens say that more women die from heart attack and cardiovascular disease in this country than all forms of cancer. And I recall doing a speech one time in front of about 350 women, actually. And I asked that question because I knew the answer at that point. This was some years ago after working with Dr. Stevens. And what's the number one killer of women? And the answer across the board was breast cancer. And it's completely the opposite of that. So how do you see that changing in terms of recognition? And then talk a little bit about those symptoms that Dr. Stevens alluded to in terms of the difference between men and women. Doctor?
You're right, Carrie. I think there's been an evolution. And as Dr. Stevens mentioned, it's been a decades-long effort to help to educate and to advocate for this understanding and growing understanding. And alongside our governing bodies, the American Heart Association, the NIH, the American College of Cardiology, and others, there's been an increasing awareness and education effort to educate physicians, clinicians, and our colleagues, non-cardiologists across the country, around this risk in parallel to educating our community, which, of course, Marcia and Dr. Stevens have worked over these past several decades to do consistently. And it's taken that iterative effort to get the information out there. In our training, there's been an increasing recognition around the non-traditional symptoms that affect women versus men. And we're working to enhance the research now around conditions that affect women in cardiology more often.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to continue with this topic, and I'm going to ask doctors to tell us what those symptoms are. How do you know, if you're listening to this, that maybe this is your wife, maybe it's your sister, maybe it's your mother? Well, we're going to find that out when we come back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. The doctors are in the house.
The Golden Rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. I'm Steve Keeker, and this is one of the founding principles of my firm, Senior Care Consulting. Since 2002, our value statement has included honor our mother and father, respect our elders, care for those in need, and treat your family as our own. We've been honored to help hundreds of families make one of the most difficult decisions they could ever make, serving them in their greatest time of need. If you're looking for someone who can provide you experienced and objective guidance when searching for a senior care community, reach out today and discover the services of Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2000. 1-800-913-945-2800. Know your options and choose with care at seniorcareconsulting.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. I want to take a moment to say thank you to all the folks over at KMET, 1490 AM and 98.1 FM in Santa Maria, California. Got some inquiries out of Santa Maria last week and just wanted to say thank you to all the folks out there. We're happy to be on that radio station. Thank you for being part of the America's Healthcare Advocate family. In studio with me, Dr. Tracy Stevens and Dr. Anna Grzynski from St. Luke's Health System. We are talking about women's heart health and the Muriel Kaufman Women's Heart Health Center, which is the first women's heart health center in the entire United States. It was a pioneering program here. Dr. Stevens was instrumental in bringing all that together and making it happen. In fact, I remember when that building was dedicated and I came to, and Joyce Thompson and I came to the dedication in the brand new building, and it was that was quite something. How many years ago was that?
That was 2010. We had the ribbon cutting. At that time, the First Lady of the United States, Laura Bush, joined us.
Yeah, she did.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was quite an affair.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really amazing. Let's get back, Dr. Stevens, to this topic, and let's talk about one of the first things I remember when we first started doing these shows way back was the difference between men and women. And it is dramatically different. The way men, project symptoms, the symptoms men experience for heart health when they're having a heart attack or about to have a heart attack, and the difference with women. So let's talk about that.
I think the symptoms we worry about in women and it are those that, in addition to the Hollywood heart attack where they have that clenching fist on their chest, the elephant discomfort on the chest. So it can be chest pain, but we need to also, they may not interpret as pain, chest pressure. In that if you say chest pain, they may say no, but chest pressure, yes. Pain between their shoulder blades, not uncommon. A toothache.
That's amazing. A toothache.
Yes, a toothache. And we educate the dental college where if it's not their tooth, do we think, could this be an angina equivalent? A shortness of breath. Indigestion is a big one. Elbow pain. I mean, just an isolated left elbow pain. It doesn't have to just be the left arm. It can be the right arm. So chest discomfort, chest pressure, shortness of breath, indigestion, discomfort between the shoulder blades, arm discomfort, palpitations, you know, the nausea, lightheadedness, and again, overwhelming fatigue. And you think, well, how many of us have those symptoms? Probably all of us. But how do we differentiate when I need to be concerned? Any new symptom, I say from the waist on up or overwhelming fatigue, think, could this be my heart? And especially if what you can do with exertion, now you can't do, because when you exert yourself, now you're limited by those symptoms, because those coronary arteries fuel our heart. And when we step on the gas, just like our cars, those arteries give us the gas. If there's obstructive plaque developing, they can't give us the gas and we halt. So exertional shortness of breath that didn't occur before, exertional chest tightness, those are the symptoms that we predominantly look for.
You know, it's funny, Dr. Grzynski, I remember that when my wife was first diagnosed with this, by Dr. Stevens, actually, the one thing that manifested itself with her, still to this day, was fatigue. And it was the fatigue. And my wife's very athletic. She was a championship horseback rider. She was a tennis player, a basketball player. I mean, she was the last person you would, you know, she's 5'11", you know, slender, you would never think, okay, it was fatigue, fatigue, fatigue. And we went in and had an echo and a cardiogram done and came out, and her ejection fraction rate was horribly low, and immediately knew we had a problem. So talk a little bit about that fatigue and those issues. And, you know, so you're the husband out there listening to this. It's your mother, maybe it's your mom, whatever the case, and you're hearing this. What should people do? You know, because you know what happens. Women are so busy taking care of the family, they're not taking care of themselves oftentimes. Okay, so you know, what should people be aware of when something like this is occurring?
Carrie, what you share is so common in practice. We see it every day, and it's true that not only having healthcare advocates like our family members is important, but self-advocacy is also important. And Fatigue can be a challenging symptom. We talk about that often. But certainly, because we're cardiologists, we always incorporate a potential cardiovascular issue as a driver of fatigue. Dr. Stevens mentioned the chest discomfort or pressure, that bra line pressure. Those would be sometimes more common to women. And in addition to cardiovascular plaque, that buildup of cholesterol and inflammation in the arteries, we're increasingly more often recognizing that women can have chest discomfort, pressure, or some of the other symptoms Dr. Stevens outlined related to arteries that are clean or arteries that can spasm or tiny blood vessels in the heart that can be a little hypersensitive or not functioning as we would expect. And those can all contribute to the same symptoms. In women who have had some cardiac evaluation that are not found to have plaques responsible for their symptoms, we ought not to necessarily stop there. We ought to recognize that additional causes in the coronaries, not necessarily related to big plaques, can also drive the symptoms. So we're just changing the way we communicate about the possibilities driving these symptoms to our patients.
You know, that reminds me of a story, doctor. I had a client of mine give me a call one day, and he said my wife was taken. We went to the ER in a rural hospital, and they told her that she had indigestion because we had gone out to eat Mexican food that night. And he said she's been really sick for the last 2 days, and it's not a stomach issue. And I remember saying to him, you need to get her in the city to St. Luke's and have somebody take a look at her. And I've sent a number of people to you over the years where they do not recognize that what they're dealing with is a potential heart issue. It's always like, no, that's not me.
Right.
That's not the approach you should take. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. And like Anna had said, we have to not only include good old America heart attack because of plaque, but recognize it's not always about heart attack from a good old plaque problem in women. And something called microvascular angina, these tiny vessels, by the time a woman reports these symptoms to someone understanding, listening, doing the proper testing, can be 2 years to get the diagnosis.
You're serious?
And that's part of our fierce mission now with transformational research to address that. And like Lauren, very healthy. It's not heart attack. It's not plaque.
She doesn't have plaque.
There are conditions within the heart muscle that can impact the strength of the heart and create those symptoms as well. We know that there's unique types of heart attack. The most common cause of heart attack in women under 50, it's not due to plaque. So we have to recognize this is not for old women. This affects young women. It's the most common cause of heart attack in pregnancy is something called SCAD, where it's a spontaneous separation or tear in the lining of the artery that narrows the flow and creates a heart attack-like presentation. But we don't want to manage these women like we do plaque. We try to avoid stents. They don't necessarily need to be on aspirin or cholesterol medicine. And that's another part of our mission for research in that arena.
When we come back from the break, we're going to move to a different topic now. We're going to talk about women who are pregnant and what happens as a result of heart attack in pregnancy. We're going to talk about that and the fatalities that are occurring right here in the Kansas City Metro as a result of it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. We've got more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. My producer behind the microphones, Mr. Darren Wilhite, behind the cameras, Mr. Dave Thiessen. In studio with me, Dr. Tracy Stevens, Dr. Anna Grzesinski. They are from St. Luke's Healthcare System. Most importantly, from the Muriel Kaufman Women's Heart Health Center, which is what we are talking about today, women's heart health issues. And they are different. And they are important, and they are under the radar a lot of times. The last thing I ever expected was for my wife to be someone who suffers from heart failure. But that day came, and we're very fortunate that we're here in this city, and this treatment center, the Muriel Kaufman Women's Heart Health Center, is here and has made a big difference for her. So, yeah, it's just important, I think, that we understand how what is going on in this area and why it's important to understand. It could be your wife. It could be your mother. You heard Dr. Stevens say, you don't have to be old. okay, I'm 75, okay, but you don't have to be old, all right, to have this issue. And we're going to segue to that in a minute here. And we're going to talk about the highest maternal fetal death rate is from what, Dr. Gazinski?
Is attributable to cardiovascular disease in our country.
Okay. Yes. And can you explain that and what does that mean and why? And let's talk about that.
Sure, Carrie. There are several layers of that. The statistics are also highlighting that the U.S. has the highest maternal mortality rate of all developed countries, which is a wild statistic. And the rate of bad outcomes around pregnancy is relatively low. However, cardiovascular conditions explain adverse outcomes most often in our country. So there's an increased focus and collaboration, and particularly within the clinical and research spaces, around better understanding why this is happening. And the Muriel Kaufman Women's Heart Center has been an advocate for the first cardio-obstetric clinic in our country. My colleagues started a unique collaboration where a high-risk obstetrician physician called a maternal fetal doctor and a cardiologist meet with our patients who are afflicted by a cardiac issue during their pregnancies and follow them more often during their pregnancy and as they deliver, because there are just unique conversations and planning that has to occur for many patients who have a cardiovascular issue during their pregnancy. And so what we have seen is that as a result of that clinic going live, that moms are less apt to undergo C-section, that their babies are born at a better gestational weight when they deliver, that the babies are able to be delivered a little later in their pregnancy, and that collaboration is a huge patient satisfier. And so that has really allowed us to segue into the research world, where we are leading some research initiatives studying, okay, well, what are the drivers and what are the barriers around care for moms with cardiac issues during pregnancy?
So what if people are listening to this and they're like, well, how do I know if my, now I told off air, I told Dr. Stevens about my daughter, Elizabeth, in Washington State, who had twins 3 years ago. They watched her like a hawk. And I'd be willing to bet that it was probably a specialized obstetrician that she was seeing, because she was in constantly going through checkups. What should mothers and what should fathers, husbands, be looking for? Your wife's pregnant. How do you screen? How do you know? How does that issue come to the forefront so they know they may be at risk for one of these? I mean, that's stunning that we have the highest rate of mortality in the world. And I'm going to ask some questions about that in a minute. But to that point, what is it they should be looking for, doctor?
As you mentioned, the highest rate amongst developed nations, and that advocacy piece is really important. As a healthcare community, we're increasingly recognizing the risk factors that drive these outcomes in our country. Some of those being, well, some of the traditional cardiac risk factors are more common to moms in the U.S. who are having babies at a little older age. More pregnancies are surprises in our country. The healthcare system and insurance access obviously is a layer, is a factor contributing to outcomes. But also, how often are we seeing moms with cardiovascular conditions during pregnancy? How can we better optimize their delivery plan and location, and to make sure that the right people are in the room for their deliveries and their follow-up care? All of these things are still under investigation. And there are increasing, there's better access for us to use tools to screen moms without known cardiovascular disease during pregnancy. So that's definitely a component. And then, but also to follow moms who have known conditions during pregnancy. So we're trying to address the different stages. And the symptoms can be tough, because the symptoms of pregnancy and the symptoms of cardiac conditions can overlap one another. But moms who experience symptoms that they may have not experienced during a prior pregnancy, or moms who are struggling more earlier in pregnancy, or who have symptoms of notable swelling or difficulty breathing when they're laying down flat, or chest discomfort that's a new sign or symptom for them, those moms should always present to medical attention for evaluation.
You know, so Dr. Stevens, you know, we've talked about this before in previous shows. How much of this is a result of the way our diet in this country, our exercise in this country, the way we consume alcohol, the smoking? I mean, granted, you know, most women now, when they get pregnant, no alcohol. Okay, and certainly you don't smoke, okay? But you still have a significant issue in this country. 70% of the people are obese. 80% of the, you know, 70% are obese. You've got another 20% or so that are morbidly obese. And, you know, we eat a lot of crap. I mean, there's no other way to put this, all right? So how much of that plays a role in younger women who are significantly overweight? Are they more at risk? How does all that fit into this, doctor?
It plays a significant role in that, as Anna said, the traditional risk factors. Blood pressure is a big one.
Okay, so there's one. If you've got high blood pressure and you're pregnant, you're at risk.
Absolutely. Or do you develop high blood pressure during pregnancy? A big focus is the preeclampsia, eclampsia. And that is something Anna and the team are investigating fiercely, because we know women who have preeclampsia, eclampsia, hypertension associated with pregnancy, they're at much greater risk of cardiovascular conditions down the road. Our concern is, after they have their baby, is the education there that they're aware of that? Do they continue to check their blood pressure? You know, with the obesity, that compounds all risk factors. Another, and Anna can comment more too on part of her research, is that we're now having more adults living with congenital heart conditions than there are kids living with, because of the success of surgeries as a baby. These babies are living to adulthood, and with many of them being women, can they get pregnant? We know that there's certain congenital heart conditions that really raises the risk of pregnancy. But again, who's at risk? What is the risk? Where do they deliver? How do they deliver? The CardioB clinic that we have formed has really made a difference, so that together we can communicate with the patient and understand the plan. The number of patients we've delivered in St. Luke's MidAmerica Heart Institute is not insignificant, but you think of it, this lovely emotional birthing room, and everyone's happy. Many times it's in our Heart Institute, in our ICU, in our ORs.
This seems to me that this has been an unrecognized issue out there, Dr. Brzezinski, for a very long time, and it's just now coming to the forefront.
Yes, I think, again, nationally, because of the recognition of our maternal fetal statistics, and especially the states that are lower performing, there has been an increased focus on forming perinatal maternal mortality review committees that can better understand the drivers of these adverse outcomes in our states, and to focus the care especially to address those factors. Also, just to recognize the cardiovascular conditions across the lifespan, as Dr. Stevens has mentioned, not just our older demographic, but from our teens, from the hormonal influencers and contraception factors, to assisted reproductive therapy, and how can that interplay with moms who may be at higher risk to carry a child, different pathways to parenthood, all the way through pregnancy, postpartum, and then our perimenopausal years, and how can we be good at recognizing cardiovascular conditions or those risks.
So basically, I think what we're saying to folks out there from both of you is, and I think, you know, one of the messages I want, especially in rural communities where they may not have access to this level of care, if you see something, if you think there's an issue, if you have blood pressure issues, if you have issues when you're lying down, if you start to recognize some of these symptoms, you immediately need to do something. And if your local rural facility can't provide that, then you need to get someplace where there's specialized care and have the tests done to find out, are you at risk before it's too late? Am I right?
That's absolutely correct. Our goal is to have a blood pressure cuff in every home of a pregnant lady.
There it is. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIE Radio Network. Doctors are still in the house. Stay tuned. We've got more.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. You can find out more about us by going to the website America's Healthcare Advocate, and you can send me an email. I will answer it. I get a lot of them. Don't answer every one of them the same day, but I do promise to answer each and every one of them. So if you've got a question, comment, go to the website, send me an email. In studio with me again, Dr. Tracy Stevens, Anna Grzynski from St. Luke's Health System, and we are talking about women's heart health. That is the topic today. The idea is obviously to get as much information out to you as we can about this topic because it is significant. You heard doctors say earlier in the show, more women die of this heart issue than die of all the cancers combined. That's why we're doing this show, is to make you aware that it's there. And I don't care how old you are. You can be young, you can be older, whatever the case may be. You may well be at risk of this issue if you're a woman. Certainly if you're pregnant, you just heard Dr. Grzynski talk about this. This is an issue you should pay attention to, and that's why we're doing this show today. So it is the 30th anniversary of the Muriel Kaufman Center. You celebrated with a fairly significant milestone. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it's been a 30-year journey.
It's amazing to think that it's been that long.
It is, and yeah. It's been a hard journey, but a very rewarding one, where we've raised awareness, advocated on Capitol Hill for the Heart for Women Act, which embraced the need for more research, and to where our journey includes transformational research addressed to the cardiovascular health of women. And with that, we are so honored that we were able to announce the St. Luke's Muriel McBrien Kaufman Foundation Family Foundation awarded us a $10 million endowment. And to name the first institute in our community, in our city, our community, our country, in the world. And it's the St. Luke's Muriel I. Kaufman Institute for Women's Cardiovascular Research, the first of its kind. And the monies, the endowment, plus all the many gifts that have come from our community, national grants, are to embrace this fierce mission to address these questions we have. And like Anna was talking with the maternal fetal mortality, the HOPE registry, we know we can't do this alone. And we have about 40 other major campuses across our country who want to join us in this HOPE registry that addresses the maternal fetal mortality crisis.
And so, Doctor, you were just in Abu Dhabi, which I was a little amazed to hear that you were actually in a conference in Abu Dhabi. Talk a little bit about that and why were you there? And this is obviously on the world stage now. So a little bit about that before we go to close.
So, you know, we're fortunate to get to lead the HOPE study. This is now in the application process to the NIH to include 1,000 patients from about 35 hospitals across our country to learn how to better understand care delivery and optimal care delivery for moms who have heart conditions during pregnancy. But also, we're fortunate to get to contribute to research networks led by others. And as I mentioned, it really is a village. And so every year we get to contribute to the Cardiac Problems in Pregnancy Conference, which is a conference hosting about 300 to 500 people from across the country focused on the care of cardiovascular topics during pregnancy and postpartum. And so Abu Dhabi hosted the conference for us last year.
Amazing that you went to Abu Dhabi to have this conference. So it's really quite remarkable. Oh. So it's becoming an international issue. Is that a fair way to frame that?
Undoubtedly, and more often.
But the leading research and the leading content that's coming out of this research is in this country. Am I correct in that?
For which we have applied for NIH support to lead 1,000 patient study looking at best care of moms with cardiovascular conditions. That will be housed here in Kansas City at St. Luke's, and that will include 35 hospitals across our country. And we contribute to other research networks of 26 to 50 hospitals that look at other topics focused on cardiovascular conditions affecting women more often, really across the lifespan as well.
So, Doctor, it's been quite a journey. Your thoughts as we close out the show today on, you know, what people should be aware of and you know, why this is an important topic.
It's so important. I think first, be aware this is our number one health threat. Educate yourself. What are your risk factors? Educate your family. Participate in research. We want to reduce the barriers that have been present in women participating in research. And identify symptoms. Advocate for yourself. And if something doesn't feel right, get it checked out. Don't delay. And know that embrace this as our number one health threat and that we can do something about it. We just have to be an advocate. And we say participate and donate. Be part of this life-saving journey.
And that is exactly what you're doing. And thank you both for coming in today. It really, this is the kind of thing that we like to do on this broadcast where we're taking cutting edge information, getting it out. And, you know, before we did the show today, and you and I have done, I don't know how many shows we've done, you know, this whole issue of fetal pregnancy, heart attack issue, heart condition issue, that this is another new area that we're talking about today. And thank you both for being here and being able to address the issue. And it's a wonderful opportunity that we have that the Muro Kaufman Center is now able to move toward this kind of research, Doctor.
It is. It's creative work. It's a wonderful compliment to it's a privilege to get to do what we do.
So once again, I want to thank both the doctors for being here. They're extremely busy, as you might guess, and for them to take time out to come up here and do this show today is pretty important. You know, we hear a lot of negativity about healthcare in this country. We hear a lot of nonsense about our healthcare system in this country. Keep one thing in mind. This is why we have the healthcare system that we have. This is why we have cutting-edge technology. This is why we have the ability to confront disease like this, discover disease like this, and deal with disease like this, because we have doctors and hospitals that are dedicated to this kind of thing in this country. So take some solace, take some pride in what we have, that we have this kind of research, we have this kind of care available to us in this country because of these doctors and these kinds of hospitals, this kind of research that makes a difference in people's lives. Thank you for listening. And now I leave you with this thought from Dr. Martin Luther King. Americans must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will surely perish together as fools. Truer words were never spoken, especially today. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIA Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Goodbye, America.